This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The ranks of the uninsured swelled by 2.4 million last year as more Americans lost their jobs and health care coverage while insurance costs kept rising. The number of people without health insurance the entire year rose to 43.6 million, an incredible jump of almost 6% from 2001. This was the second consecutive annual release, according to the Census Bureau, in a report being released Tuesday. The percentage of Americans without health insurance coverage rose from 14.6 to 15.2. The Bureau reported a survey last week that found more people fell into poverty and median income declined in 2002, even though the recession was said to have ended in late 2001. Congressional Democrats plan to continue pressing the White House for an independent investigation into how an undercover CIA officer's identity was revealed and will hold closed-door talks with the officer's husband to further their efforts. Democratic officials indicated that Wilson himself plans to talk to the House Democrats in their weekly caucus meeting in the Capitol on Wednesday and will talk to reporters afterwards. Democrats said that a special investigator is the only way to ferret out the problem due to the leaker potentially placing so many lives in danger. According to a senior law enforcement official, Ashcroft has not ruled out appointing a special counsel. Independent candidate for California Governor Arianna Huffington bowed out of the recall race Tuesday to focus on defeating the recall vote and Arnold Schwarzenegger's bid for governor. During her campaign, she supported the recall but now calls Schwarzenegger a clear and present danger and that Republican forces are using him as a tool to get control of California. The recall election is scheduled for next week on October 7th. Despite the fact that the FDA has not approved any medicines from Cuba for import, cheap Cuban medicines fill Miami cabinets. The Cuban government recently made it even easier for tourists to get medications manufactured there via a new pharmacy kiosk at Jose Martini International Airport in Havana that dispenses all types of drugs without prescriptions for U.S. dollars. Most U.S. enforcement efforts are concentrated on it. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Fried potatoes and catfish are old hat to Texans at what is billed as the largest state fair in the United States. This year, eight new fried foods are debuting at the fair, among them fried Oreo cookies and fried candy bars. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
A GMO is not a hot new muscle car marketed to young drivers. It's a genetically modified organism, and these GMOs are being secretly sold to us through our supermarkets. Thousands of the food products you bring home, especially those made from corn and soybeans, contain these genetically altered organisms, put there not by farmers developing new and better hybrid crops, but by the likes of Monsanto and other profiteers that have scientists in their labs recklessly moving genes among species, including from animals to plants. They're messing with the very DNA of our food supply without even testing the long-term impact of this manipulation on human health or on our ecology. And they're doing it without even telling us that it's in our food. In Europe, Japan, Latin America, Africa, and elsewhere, people have rejected these Frankenfoods, either banning them outright or at least requiring that they be clearly labeled. So why is our government allowing these corporations to use your family and mine as their genetic guinea pigs? Money, honey. The biotech industry knew that U.S. consumers, like those everywhere, would naturally recoil from such tampered foods. So over the last decade, it invaded Washington with its campaign funds and lobbyists. For example, just in the past 5 years, this industry poured $89 million into lobbying our Washington officials and put millions more into the campaign funds of the White House and Congress. Monsanto alone, which now controls 70% of the global market for GMO seeds and has led the charge to prevent labeling of these food products, made $3 million in campaign contributions in this period. 80% of that went to Republicans, and George W. dutifully named a Monsanto lobbyist to be the number two official at the EPA. This is Jim Hightower saying, the biotech giants haven't merely invaded Washington, they've captured it. And that's why we're being kept in the dark.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate, you kidding me? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way. From coast to coast, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Today, day 233 in the hunt for weapons of mass destruction, day 744 in the search for that man whose name shall not pass the lips of the man sitting in the office of the President of the United States, that is to say, Osama bin Laden. Still looking for him. A correction from yesterday, by the way. Ozone is O3. So much for when you are remembering chemistry from 30 years earlier. Yes, what happens is in the upper atmosphere, the ultraviolet radiation busts up some of the O2 molecules, liberating free O, which then combines with ionized O2 and forms O3, thus ozone. For those of you who are detail freaks, thank you for the folks who set me straight on that. Appreciate it. Rush Holt's bill also is still accumulating sponsors. If you haven't yet called or written to or emailed, telephoning and handwritten letters are the very best, of course, your elected representatives, your member of Congress, or members of Congress, please do so and say, please support Representative Rush Holt's bill to make elections, voting and voting machines safe and fair and honest and whatnot. He does not have enough sponsors to get this thing out of committee and needs some help. And today, black box voting, Bev Harris's great and breakthrough book about the perils of black box voting, the dangers and the potential harms to democracy of completely computerized, no voter trail, run on a Windows operating system, run by corporations with ties to this administration and other big Republicans, the dangers of these voting machines being put in place all across the United States. She is offering her book online for free. You can, of course, buy the book. As an author myself, I always encourage people to do that, even though authors typically only get somewhere between 5 and 15 cents a book when they're sold. Nonetheless, you can buy her book. You can get it at Amazon and bookstores, Black Box Voting by Bev Harris. But she's also, every few days, going to put a new chapter up online on her website, which is www.blackboxvoting.com. And I encourage you to check it out. Today is the day. It is going live. Well, some friends planted a secret microphone, it appears, in the White House. This purportedly is what George Bush was heard muttering to himself after the word of the leak came out that may be the beginning of the uncorking of the bottle of the big mess. Here he is, according to inside sources.
Now what am I going to do?
Yeah, right. It is the corruption of the Bush administration finally reaching the point where it's greater than the American people can bear? It's funny to, you know, whenever you see Ed Gillespie, you know, the head of the Republican National Committee, he's been doing the circuit. Remember, this guy was an Enron lobbyist. It's like whenever his name is mentioned, it should be prefaced by former Enron lobbyist and RNC chairman Ed Gillespie. Unfortunately, most of our media don't bother to do that. The Supreme Court today, by the way, this is another one of these incredibly underreported stories. This in today's paper. The Supreme Court today is hearing arguments on whether Dick Cheney is being sued by Judicial Watch and the Sierra Club, and he has lost twice now. It's before the Supreme Court on whether he can continue to keep secret the notes and discussions and records and whatnot of his energy policy meetings back before 9/11, when he and his buddies from the oil industry were carving up Iraq and the United Arab Emirates. You can find the documents on this at Judicial Watch. There's a link to it. I think it's on our... I'm quite sure I put it on our blog page. On the it's called Program Topics off the homepage. www.tomhartman.com is our homepage. From there, you can get into our chat room where you'll find one of the most erudite conversations going on the Internet, happening right at this moment as the program is live, into our message boards where you'll find over 20,000 postings of various messages and various topics, and also to the Program Topics list, which is where we every day list what we're talking about that day and give links to some of those things. So anyhow, the Supreme Court is going to be thinking about this. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that, and I wanted to be sure and mention it. And then I want to get into the corruption of this administration. First, however, we have a caller, Eric, a trucker in Chicago, is on the line. Eric has called 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Eric, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Yes. I just have a basic question I've been thinking about since I ended up here in Schwarzenegger is saying that he doesn't like the workman's comp bill that's going through in California there. If I remember correctly, I worked with him laying block in Honolulu in 1966. And if I'm correct on this, he ended up getting workman's comp at the time because he got injured.
You're kidding.
No,
that's incredible.
I wish there was a way to, if there must be a way to check that out for sure. It was in 1966 in Honolulu.
Yeah, Eric, do you have access to a computer?
Not right now, no.
Well, it's at any point can you get on? If you what I'd like to suggest is if you'll go to tomhartman.com, to my website, and go to the message board and just post your story on the message board, I will forward it to everybody I know in the media who might be able to do something about this. Check it out.
Yeah, because it'll be probably the weekend before I can get to a computer. But
okay, it might be a little late. 1966, you said.
Yes, it was 1966, if I remember correctly.
Honolulu.
In Honolulu.
Okay.
And block layer and union.
You guys, he was working for a union.
Yes, there was union workers there.
Do you remember the union?
Block layers, masonry union.
Great. Okay, Eric, thank you for the information. We'll see what
okay.
we can do with it. Yeah, I appreciate your call. Interesting. Have you noticed how the news programs last weekend, of course this weekend it'll be different, but last weekend it was all about how everything is going wonderful in Iraq. One after another, we had person after person on. The Pentagon had apparently given a tour to retired generals who were preparing to go on national television. And, oh, isn't everything wonderful? Well, now we've got this... the corruption of the Iraq situation might come. See, here's the danger. to the Bush administration. The danger is that they are sitting on so many scandals, any one of which Republicans would have used to bring down Bill Clinton. Any one of which. They are sitting on so many scandals that if one of these things gets uncorked, the whole thing could come down. On Salondump.com, there's an article about how Matt Drudge is now picking on Bush. The feeding frenzy is getting bizarre. Tucker Carlson is being attacked by Fox. Robert Novak is now attacking the Bush administration. Is he going to be next? It's interesting. The only show on television that has real liberals who really take an aggressive position is Crossfire with Paul Begala and James Carville. And it was on in the evening on CNN, and they moved it down to less than primetime time at 4:30 and replaced its time slot with the right-winger, what's-his-name, who last night was interviewing some economist, and it was just absurd. I mean, it was just absurd. Anyway, one even wonders if Grove to get rid of the last two liberals on television on the last television program in all of the United States where they actually ask hard questions and reveal unpleasant truths for the Republicans. Keep in mind, as Robert Reich pointed out in his February 1st article, The Rove Machine Rolls On, that was published in the American Prospect. He says it's no accident that Karl Rove was one of Richard Nixon's moles. Using techniques developed by his first mentor, dirty tricks strategist Donald Segretti, Karl Rove infiltrated Democratic organizations on behalf of Nixon's infamous 1972 campaign. Are you getting this? Rove's formidable talents came to the attention of George Bush Sr., then incoming Republican National Committee chairman, and the rest is history. He goes on to point out that late in seven presidential candidates later, Rove masterminded a deluge of disinformation against John McCain. See, keep in mind, John McCain had won the New Hampshire primary. George W. was on the run. If McCain won the South Carolina primary, and it looked like he was going to, he would be the Republican presidential nominee, not George W. Bush, and Karl Rove would not allow that to happen. And so, to quote Robert B. Reich, in The Rove Machine Rolls On from the American Prospect, February 1, 2003, he said, word was spread among South Carolina voters that McCain had fathered a black daughter out of wedlock. McCain had, in fact, adopted a Bangladeshi girl, and so apparently they used some pictures of her to imply that he had been, misogynist, and that McCain was a homosexual, that McCain's wife had a drug problem, and so on. And then, of course, this is back in February. Now Rove is masterminding the Bush administration's press strategy, etc. Yes, indeed. I mean, it's amazing what this administration has been able to get away with. Last Sunday, for example, Secretary of State Colin Powell recirculated a false story, according to Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, about U.N. weapons inspectors being kicked out of Iraq in 1998. They were never kicked out of Iraq! Anytime you hear somebody say U.N. weapons inspectors were kicked out of Iraq in 1998, it's wrong! Here's what actually happened. According to FAIR, December 15, 1998, the head of the U.N. weapons inspection team in Iraq, Richard Butler, released a report accusing Iraq of not fully cooperating. The next day, Butler withdrew his inspectors. Bill Clinton and his administration, the United States, withdrew the inspectors in anticipation of a U.S.-British bombing campaign. 3 years ago, the New York Times corrected the record. They ran an article, they said, in a front-page article yesterday on Iraq, misstated the circumstances under which international weapons inspectors left that country before American and British airstrikes in December 1998. While Iraq had ceased cooperating with the inspectors, it did not expel them. The United Nations withdrew them before the airstrikes began. 3 years ago, the New York Times was correcting these kinds of lies. Now they're publishing them. On the 29th, the New York Times quoted Colin Powell, and on it goes. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One-A-Day Men's Health Formula. One-A-Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One-A-Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
When Brian and Amy decided to sell their home, someone was there to make sure that things went smoothly. Someone was there to help them see it through a buyer's eyes. Someone was there to help price it, show it, close it. And when Brian and Amy found the house they wanted to buy, someone else helped them get through that process just as smoothly.
Congratulations, we did it.
If you're thinking about selling your home, work with someone who works with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide.
Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis. Or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country, one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison instead of right-wing think tanks in the Republican National Committee, as seems to be the case in virtually all other talk radio across the nation, with a few pockets, a few exceptions, that are growing. It's interesting how more and more stations are looking for balance for the voice of the other half of America.
Here's in our chat room. If you're missing the chat room, if you're listening to this program at home, I know a lot of you are listening to the program in your car. You're tuned into your local radio station. There are some folks though who are listening to it on the internet or who are listening to it at home on a radio station or on the Sirius satellite. And if that's the case, if you're missing the chat room, you're missing a great conversation. One of the questions that was raised, and I think it's a good one, is: could this be the beginning of the end of the Bush presidency from the point of view of the Republicans themselves? You'll recall when the corruption of Ulysses S. Grant was revealed during his second administration, his second term in office, when the railroad bribery scandals that just rocked the Grant administration. I mean, historically, in terms of corporate corruption, the Ulysses S. Grant administration has historically been viewed as the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States until George W. Bush came along. In terms of crony capitalism, you know, giving out business to your buddies, bringing your friends into government so that they can raid the public larder. And Grant wanted to run for a third term of office. He wanted to be president again. And his own Republican Party said, no, we're not going to let you do it. And the conspiracy theorist in me wonders, you know, I've been watching Chuck Hagel over the last year. Ever since I first wrote that article about voting machines and discovered and helped out Chuck Hagel. He was fully outed by The Hill, the publication The Hill, the fact that he had failed to reveal that he was formerly the president of and still owns stock in and participated with the company that made the voting machines in Nebraska that counted the vote when he left the voting machine company and ran for the United States Senate and won all these upset victories in the primaries, this being 8 years ago now, and won a complete upset victory running against the Democratic governor for the United States Senate, who was very, very popular. It was the Washington Post called it the surprise upset of the year. Chuck Hagel's voting machines recorded that he won that election. And that first put him on my radar screen. And since then, this guy has been getting more FaceTime on TV than just about any other Republican I can think of. He's out there more than Tom the Exterminator DeLay. And so the question was, if the Republicans decide that Bush is damaged goods, I mean, his own people are turning on him. He's got Robert Novak writing a column against him. He's got Tucker Carlson talking about how him and Karen Hughes are liars. He's got Matt Drudge attacking him. He's got the Republicans in Congress just freaking out. Ed Gillespie the other day on TV saying, well, yeah, if this happened, it's a crime. And Chris Matthews, Chris Matthews, I'll have to check, said, the quote is accurate. He said, if this is true, that somebody in the White House leaked this thing to Robert Novak and to six other reporters, it would be bigger than Watergate, wouldn't it? And Ed Gillespie, former Enron lobbyist and now head of the Republican National Committee, said, yeah. So who might replace Bush? I don't think it would be McCain on the ticket. People are talking about, well, wouldn't it be McCain? No, I don't think so. I think his day has gone. I'm guessing that Chuck Hagel's trying to position himself, and he's saying, hey, not only that, I own all the voting machines. You're in the Truth Zone with Tom Hartman. This is the IE America Radio Network. We will be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thank you.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Time is running out for a new contract between 71,000 grocery store workers in Southern California and the stores they work for. The workers, members of the United Food and Commercial Workers, are quite unhappy with the contract proposed by the stores, which would freeze pension funding and place more of the burden to pay for health care on the workers with no compensatory raise. The contract expires on Sunday. The UFCW is telling its members at grocery stores to save as much money as possible, as strike pay is a pittance. The stores already have signs up advertising for temporary replacement help.
The fate of the 40-hour work week is in the hands of the House of Representatives. When lawmakers take up a health, education, and labor spending bill today, they'll decide whether or not to include a measure that would prevent the Labor Department from exempting millions of American workers from the right to overtime pay. Organized labor says those changes would cost a net 8 million American workers their right to time and a half pay. Nevertheless, President Bush has threatened to veto the entire $138 billion spending bill if an amendment protecting overtime pay survives both houses of Congress.
25 former workers on a factory fishing boat are being sued by the company they worked for, accused of mutiny during a fish processing expedition in February. The men, all from Washington State, staged a mini strike on the ship after the captain tried to increase the already grueling 16-hour workday by half an hour. When they were fired and taken back to land, the workers sued, claiming the company infringed on their right to organize for a safer workplace. Now the company, Premier Pacific Seafoods, has countersued, wanting the workers to pay for the vessel's downtime during their rebellion. It says the workers committed mutiny, which is punishable by up to 10 years in prison, and the remedy it seeks is a slap on the wrist by comparison.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Doolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
If I knew why the sun did shine, and if I knew the taste of ancient wine, if I knew all these wonders, there's one thing more I'd know. I'd know the way we all should go.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman. Uncommon sense from the radical middle to help you win the water cooler wars. One of the folks in our chat room says, there's no way Bush is going to go down there. The Republicans are going to let go of him. There's so much credibility is at stake. And, yeah, I agree, unless, you know, unless he's like Nixon. I mean, you know, Nixon, wouldn't it be interesting if this whole thing played out the exact same way? Remember, Nixon's vice president, Agnew, Spiro Agnew, ended up being booted out because he was so corrupt. Frankly, I don't remember the details here. I'm just looking. I thought I had an audio clip of Spiro Agnew, but apparently not. I was going to share with you. But anyhow, Agnew left, and Ford comes in. So what if Cheney? Here we got the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court case, if Cheney gets bounced out and he gets replaced with, for example, Chuck Hagel. See, I'm telling you, this guy is the rising star in the Republican Party. He has the inside track on the voting machines. He's telegenic. And he has been charting this middle course in public. in ways that no one else is willing to do. And then, if Bush goes down, Hagel is running for president. Now, it's probably all too bizarre, and if it does play out, it'll probably play out after the election. It's surprising, interesting, how what the parallels here could be to the Watergate situation, where, again, you had a corrupt president and a corrupt vice president hiding their crimes, the attorney general helping them to do it, and eventually it got unraveled. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Jim in Tennessee is on the line. Jim, welcome to Tom Hartman Program.
Mega dittos, Tom.
Well, thank you, Jim.
That was Chris Matthews that asked that of Ed Gillespie. I thought Gillespie was going to choke before he got that answer out.
Yeah.
I think, as a matter of fact, Matthews had to ask him three times before he ever answered the question. But I think Carl Rove, didn't he get into some trouble in Texas during a race down there where they actually had a bug in his office and he lied and they caught him and I think the first Bush caught him in a lie and fired him from his administration.
Yes.
And Carl Rove, this is a dangerous guy. And I noticed yesterday that it was wall to wall about this problem, and today, and I haven't heard but maybe one or two comments today about this whole thing. So they've shut this thing down, and people like you and maybe some other commentators will keep this thing going, because this is a serious problem. And, we've got two dangerous men in the White House, Karl Rove and George Bush, and we've got to get rid of George Bush. And
Dick Cheney, too, I think,
talk about crony
capitalism.
They've got to be gotten out.
Yeah, yeah, thank you, Jim.
Thank you for your program. I appreciate you so much.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate your call. Here's Dick Cheney. Here's a guy who was a congressman. He had never, ever in his life run a business. No experience at all. And he becomes Secretary of Defense under Bush Sr., and he leaves office and gets hired by Halliburton as their CEO, and their defense business goes from goes through the roof. They go from something like the 70th-something defense contractor to something like the 18th, as I recall. But is this part of a larger pattern? Is the corruption of the Bush administration finally reached the point where it's greater than the American people can bear? Is this story going to stay alive? See, I would say this is really part of a larger issue. And that's the issue, you might want to call it Intimidate. David Sirota, AmericanProgress.org, sends out this email here. And it's great. He says, Intimidate, as in intimidate gate. First of all, you've got Larry Lindsey was fired when he told a newspaper that Iraq could cost $200 billion, top White House advisor. Then you got General Anthony Zinni, who was not reappointed after he said that here's the quote. General Anthony Zinni, a retired Marine general who was Bush's Middle East mediator, angered the White House when he told a foreign policy forum in October that Bush had far more pressing foreign policy priorities than Iraq, and suggested there could be a prolonged, difficult aftermath to a war in Iraq. He was not reappointed as Mideast envoy. And then troops threatened for telling the truth about combat in Iraq. None of us that wear this uniform are free to say anything disparaging about the Secretary of Defense or the President of the United States, says General John Abizaid. Whatever action may be taken, he says, whether it's a verbal reprimand or something more stringent, is up to the commanders in the scene. In other words, you guys shut up. If you're going to say something good. As we saw last week with all these folks coming back from Iraq, these retired generals talking to the news reporters, oh, all is well in Iraq. You think that might have something to do with General John Abizaid telling the troops that they could be nailed? None of us that wear this uniform is free to say anything disparaging about the Secretary of Defense or the President of the United States, he says. And then a reporter defamed for telling the truth about disgruntled troops. This from the Washington Post. A White House operative alerted cyber gossip Matt Drudge to the fact that ABC News correspondent Jeffrey Kaufman is not only openly gay, he's Canadian. This is the guy who broke the story that the troops were unhappy. So a White House operative alerted cyber gossip. Who might that be? And then a general disparaged for telling the truth about troop level needs. Quote from USA Today. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz criticized the Army's Chief of Staff, General Eric Shinseki, after Shinseki told Congress in February that the occupation would require several hundred thousand troops. Wolfowitz called Shinseki's estimate wildly off the mark. The CIA was attacked by this administration for telling the truth about the bogus Iraq nuclear claim. Despite the CIA, this from the Washington Post, despite President Bush and his national security advisors yesterday placed full responsibility on the Central Intelligence Agency for the inclusion in this year's State of the Union address of questionable allegations about Iraq's Saddam Hussein trying to buy nuclear weapons. And finally, of course, CIA operative exposed because husband told truth about Iraq. This from David Sirota's Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org. And on it goes. I mean, it's just on it goes and on it goes. And what does Don Rumsfeld say about leaks? Folks, the leak can put people's lives at risk, ought to be in jail. Yeah, right. Attorney General John Ashcroft in 01, leaks of classified information do substantial damage to the security interests of our nation. Back when he was trying to get Clinton nailed in 97, he was a senator. Ashcroft said, you know, a single allegation can be most worthy of a special prosecutor. If you're abusing government property, if you're abusing your status in office, it can be a single fact that makes the difference. But here we have a huge pattern of corruption in this administration. Any one of these things would have brought down the Bush administration, given the hostility of the corporate-owned press to them. By the way, our quote for the day from Thomas Jefferson, a letter he wrote to Colonel Edward Carrington on January 16, 1787, he said, "Experience declares that man is the only animal which devours his own kind, for I can apply no milder term to the general prey of the rich upon the poor." Thomas Jefferson. And back to an administration of, by, and for the rich. Arguably the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States. An administration that has raised crony capitalism from merely something disreputable. Well, actually, you know, the Republicans tried to prosecute the Clinton White House for crony capitalism. They weren't giving away billions of dollars to their corporate buddies. No, they wanted to prosecute the Clinton administration for firing some travel agents and replacing them with friendly travel agents. Firing some Republican travel agents from the previous administration and replacing them with Democrats. So they wanted to have a special prosecutor, and they wanted to prosecute the Clinton administration, members of the Clinton administration, possibly including the president and certainly the first lady, for firing some $40,000, $50,000 a year, and that, you know, that's at the high end. I mean, with travel agents, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, for firing a few of these folks and replacing them with the folks that they liked politically. And yet, this administration gives no bid contracts. It's just Energygate. Well, let's just go through the list. The unrepentant liberal has done a good job of organizing these things. Jim Caddell. This is back in June. Energygate. The Energy Task Force meetings with lobbyists and executives. This is the thing that's before the Supreme Court today. The Energygate scandal. Of Dick Cheney bringing in his buddies from Big Oil, carving up Iraq in the United Arab Emirates. You can see the documents. And then refusing to discuss why or what. And their recommendations, I mean, they put together the National Energy Policy of the United States. Their recommendations, more polluting industry, cut back on pollution controls, more reliance on oil, more nuclear power. Why did he refuse to provide these documents? And after a year in court, and finally they released something on the order of a federal judge. They released 16,000 pages of documents. 16,000 are still not released, and 11,000 that were released were so heavily censored they were unreadable. How about Towergate, the 9/11 cover-up, the Twin Towers? I mean, NASA lost a space shuttle. The Columbia goes down over Texas, right? Columbia dies over Texas. We've talked about that. Columbia is the name of the goddess of liberty, and that headline gave me chills. Her statue's on top of the United States Congress. Anyhow, 18-foot statue there. When Columbia went down over Texas, NASA immediately got $50 million to investigate the shuttle disaster. Bush dragged his feet for a year before finally pulling out of the closet of old specialists at cover-ups, the Vietnam-era cover-up genius Henry Kissinger, dusting him off and say, well, we'll have him look into this. And we'll spend $11 million on it. The $11 million has never appeared in any of the budgets. The investigation has never happened. And so when Congress said, okay, we're going to look into this ourselves, if the administration is going to refuse to look into it, and the Republicans have done a great job, former Enron lobbyist Ed Gillespie and his Republican National Committee have done a great job of causing Americans to think that that congressional investigation was the investigation that should have happened, and it was the most cursory surface thing. And even when that came out, huge chunks of it, what Bob Graham referred to, who was the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, two key sections were just covered over in black felt pen, marked out or eliminated altogether. Why? What are they hiding from us? Might it have to do with the Bin Laden family and the Bush family? Might it have to do with failures of this White House to protect the United States from attack? Why? Why are they hiding these things? What is going on with the 9/11 cover-up in this administration? And then, of course, there are the financial scandals. George Bush making $800,000. On inside trading. And when the SEC looked into it, of course, his daddy was president at the time. When the SEC looked into it, they never interviewed him or any other Harkin Energy directors. They didn't interview anybody. And when they finally wrote their report, they said in the letter that this letter should not be construed as exonerating George W. Bush, even though he has claimed wrongly that he has been exonerated by the SEC. Their letter was explicit. He was not exonerated. The investigation simply has never happened. What Martha Stewart is accused of, the exact thing that Martha Stewart is accused of making $40,000, $50,000 profit on, is what George Bush did and made $800,000 profit on, and there are several people on the record saying that. This is not a huge secret, friends. Nobody's looking into this. And then, of course, you have Halliburton. Halliburton, which in 1999 and 2000 donated $673,000, more than $500,000 to the GOP. When Cheney, former Secretary of Defense, left service of our country in 1995 and became Halliburton's CEO, they went from 73rd to 18th in the Pentagon's list of top contractors. $3.8 billion in federal contracts. Bang! And Halliburton now gets a $7 billion no-bid deal to rebuild Iraq's oil fields. A 10-year contract to support our troops with no spending ceiling. In 1998, under Cheney, Halliburton changed the way that they did their bookkeeping, so it was more like Enron. Their number of offshore tax havens went from 9 to 44, so that the amount of tax they paid went from $302 million in 1998 to getting an $85 million tax refund in 1999? $623,000 Enron contributed to G.W. Bush's gubernatorial and presidential campaigns. Nobody's looking into this stuff, folks. It is waiting to explode. You're listening to the True People's Radio. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Thank you.
bringing you uncommon sense. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont, this is Tom Hartman, Truth in Broadcasting. Representative Steny Hoyer of Maryland, Democrat from Maryland, weighs in on this situation with Karl Rove and outing a CIA agent. And this is a very just straightforward, common sense response, in my opinion. Listen to this. Oh, it's going to hang on just a second. Sorry, I had the button pushed in the wrong place.
If this were the Clinton White House, with the Republicans in control of the House and the Senate, hearings would already have been scheduled. Witnesses would have been subpoenaed. Plans would be ready for a nationally televised hearing on this critical issue. This is a very important issue. The allegation is, of course, that a White House official, Karl Rove has been mentioned, White House official, in effect, broke the law by giving the name of a agent of the CIA, a covert agent, putting her life in danger, putting perhaps her missions in danger, and putting at risk the security of the United States. And that's a very serious allegation made by Bob Novak, of course, a friend of the White House. So this isn't some member of the press who's trying to get the White House making this allegation. So we ought to have, certainly, at minimum, hearings. I thought the White House response yesterday through Mr. McClellan was insufficient. He simply kept parroting, "Do you have information?" He ought to be finding out information. The president ought to be concerned about this security breach.
Amen. Is the corruption of the Bush administration finally reaching the point where it's greater than the American people can bear? And the important thing, the really important message, here's the take-home message from all of this, is that it's not just about George Bush and Dick Cheney and Karl Rove. It really isn't. What has happened is that our system, our political system in the United States, has become so vulnerable to corruption by big money that these huge corporations have come in and, you know, you get corrupt practices, you get corrupt people. We need public financing of elections in the United States, or at the very least a system like they have in the United Kingdom, in England, where anybody running for office cannot spend more than £100,000, the equivalent of maybe $150,000. We need to have absolute limits, and we need to go back to requiring, in exchange for their license, that our networks, radio and television, carry presidential debates and discourse. I mean, we can do this. We did this for hundreds of years in the United States. We can make a change. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
From those ads, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Congressional Democrats plan to continue pressing the White House for an independent investigation into how an undercover CIA officer's identity was revealed and will hold closed-door talks with the officer's husband to further their efforts. Democratic officials indicated that Wilson himself plans to talk to the House Democrats in their weekly caucus meeting in the Capitol on Wednesday and will talk to reporters afterwards. Democrats said that a special investigator is the only way to ferret out the problem due to the leaker potentially placing so many lives in danger. According to a senior law enforcement official, Ashcroft has not ruled out appointing a special counsel. The ranks of the uninsured swelled by 2.4 million last year as more Americans lost their jobs and health care coverage while insurance costs kept rising. The number of people without health insurance the entire year rose to 43.6 million, an incredible jump of almost 6% from 2001. This was the second consecutive annual release, according to the Census Bureau, in a report being released Tuesday. The percentage of Americans without health insurance coverage rose from 14.6 to 15.2. The Bureau reported a survey last week that found more people fell into poverty and median income declined in 2002, even though the recession was said to have ended in late 2001. Despite the fact that the FDA has not approved any medicines from Cuba for import, cheap Cuban medicines fill Miami cabinets. The Cuban government recently made it even easier for tourists to get medications manufactured there via a new pharmacy kiosk at Jose Martini International Airport in Havana that dispenses all types of drugs without prescriptions for U.S. dollars. Most U.S. enforcement efforts are concentrated only on drugs that are intended to be resold in the United States for profits. Independent candidate for California Governor Arianna Huffington bowed out of the recall race Tuesday to focus on defeating the recall vote and Arnold Schwarzenegger's bid for governor. During her campaign, she supported the recall, but now calls Schwarzenegger a clear and present danger and that Republican forces are using him as a tool to get control of California. The recall election is scheduled for next week on October 7th. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Thousands of train commuters in London were delayed after a trainee driver fainted and fell out of his cab, hearing fellow workers describe a colleague's vasectomy operation. The details were evidently too much for the young trainee to take. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
A GMO is not a hot new muscle car marketed to young drivers. It's a genetically modified organism, and these GMOs are being secretly sold to us through our supermarkets. Thousands of the food products you bring home, especially those made from corn and soybeans, contain these genetically altered organisms, put there not by farmers developing new and better hybrid crops, but by the likes of Monsanto and other profiteers that have scientists in their labs recklessly moving genes among species, including from animals to plants. They are messing with the very DNA of our food supply without even testing the long-term impact of this manipulation on human health or on our ecology. And they're doing it without even telling us that it's in our food. In Europe, Japan, Latin America, Africa, and elsewhere, people have rejected these frankenfoods, either banning them outright or at least requiring that they be clearly labeled. So why is our government allowing these corporations to use your family and mine as their genetic guinea pigs? Money, honey. The biotech industry knew that U.S. consumers, like those everywhere, would naturally recoil from such tampered foods. So over the last decade, it invaded Washington with its campaign funds and lobbyists. For example, just in the past 5 years, this industry poured $89 million into lobbying our Washington officials and put millions more into the campaign funds of the White House and Congress. Monsanto alone, which now controls 70% of the global market for GMO seeds and has led the charge to prevent labeling of these food products, made $3 million in campaign contributions in this period. 80% of that went to Republicans, and George W. dutifully named a Monsanto lobbyist to be the number two official at the EPA. This is Jim Hightower saying, the biotech giants haven't merely invaded Washington, they've captured it. And that's why we're being kept in the dark.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back to the vast radical middle conspiracy, defending America from conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman, live coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, on the internet, on IEAmericaRadio.com, RadioPower.org, Live365.com, on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, and also broadcasting on the Sirius satellite radio system. Our conservative alert, we have a... One of these very interesting, I hear what they have to say. Yes, this is an email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush-Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history? By making a contribution today. Yeah. Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. I'm sorry. He's just no good at it. He hasn't been able to get the kind of funds he needs. The Democrats are just outraising him, outspending him. Yeah, if they only had a brain. It's really tragic. I mean, if you want to just... here's my question for this hour. Why didn't we learn from the war in Vietnam that we can't have both guns and butter? And I want to continue. This is really an extension of what we were talking about in the previous hour, is about the corruption of the Bush administration. And both of those fall into this larger category of the vision for America. There was a time in America when people went into politics not for personal gain, but because they felt it was their obligation to serve their nation. Franklin Roosevelt was a very wealthy man. He didn't go into politics because he wanted to hustle for his friends. Similarly, and the history of the Marshall Act is a fascinating one. It months and months and months before Congress, all kinds of details hashed out. War profiteering, when the Marshall Act was being put together, was considered the most disgusting, horrible political crime that could happen. The history of the United States, with a few exceptions, just a very few conspicuous exceptions,
the Ulysses S. Grant administration, Herbert Hoover's administration, George W. Bush's administration, arguably Richard Nixon's administration. I think his corruption was more personal than systemic, but it was there. The history, you know, we have had people who have had actual ideals. And I find among the Democrats who are running for president right now, a collection of people who actually have ideals, who actually believe in the future of America, who actually have hope and vision for positive change. I see this also among the Greens and the Progressives. I have some concerns about one of the Democrats, about Joe Lieberman, frankly. The more he talks, the more I think this guy should be a Republican. But this idea of a vision, and I want to tie this back into the lessons that we learned from Vietnam, but I just wanted to share with you a little clip. I'm going to share with you a couple of Kennedy clips. This one from John, and then we're going to hear from Teddy. But this runs a little over a minute. It's actually a fairly long clip, and I'm going to play the whole thing because he makes several different points. This was his summary in the fourth debate in 1960 against Richard Nixon. These were his closing comments in that debate where he was asking Americans to vote for him and talking about his vision of America and what he thinks we need to do as a nation. And it applies every bit as much today as it did in 1960, and this is what has been lost. In the rush to bring in their cronies and their buddies and let them feed like pigs at the trough, to quote the title of Arianna's book, that has been completely lost by this administration, is the ideals expressed here in this little minute and a half clip.
To fund us now to do that.
And I keep starting these things in the wrong place.
I believe it incumbent upon the next president of the United States to get this country moving again, to get our economy moving again, to set before the American people its goals, its unfinished business, and then throughout the world appoint the best people we can get, ambassadors who can speak the language, not merely people who made a political contribution, but who can speak the language. I believe that this party, Republican Party, has stood still really for 25 years, its leadership has. It opposed all of the programs of President Roosevelt and others, for minimum wage and for housing, economic growth and development of our natural resources, the Tennessee Valley and all the rest. And I believe that if we can get a party which believes in movement, which believes in going ahead, then we can reestablish our position in the world. Strong defense, strong in economic growth, justice for our people, guarantee of constitutional rights, so that people will believe that we practice what we preach. And then, around the world, particularly to try to reestablish the atmosphere which existed in Latin America at the time of Franklin Roosevelt. He was a good neighbor in Latin America because he was a good neighbor in the United States. Because they saw us as a society that was compassionate, that cared about people, that was moving this country ahead. I believe it's my responsibility as the leader of the Democratic Party in 1960 to try to warn the American people that in this crucial time we can no longer afford to stand still. We can no longer afford to be second best. I want people all over the world to look to the United States again, to feel that we're on the move, to feel that our high noon is in the future. I don't believe there's any burden of any responsibility that any American would not assume to protect his country, protect our security, to advance the cause of freedom. And I believe it incumbent upon us now to do that.
There you go. John Kennedy in 1960, articulating the vision that was not uniquely his, that was a vision that has been held by many who have come into public service. You know, the Mr. Smith goes to Washington myth is, or cliche, let's say, is a cliche because there's so much truth to it. There really have been, and there still are, actually. I have to tell you that there are some of the folks who are in the even among the conservatives who were elected during Newt's time, there were a few people who actually went in and said that they would not, before they went in, they said, we believe this stuff. And we're going to only serve one or two terms, and that's it, because we think there should be term limits, and we're not going to allow ourselves to become the entrenched special interests. And they actually left. There were several of them. I mean, there are people on the right and on the left who go into public service because they believe in the vision of America, a nation founded in equality. Now we have different ways of thinking that should come about. The Republicans think that it should come about by letting the corporations do whatever they want. Although there are some Republicans who disagree with that, maybe two of them, Voinovich and Snow come to mind, and Jim Jeffords, who's of course no longer a Republican. But we must return to this. We must return to this. So here, back to Iraq and Vietnam, and of course the questions, the unanswered questions of this administration that maybe this Joe Wilson affair will pop the bottle, pop the cork out of the bottle, and these things will come spilling out. Where is Osama bin Laden? Who sent the anthrax to the Democrats? What happened to Paul Wellstone's plane? Who forged the documents that Colin Powell was waving around and that made their way into George Bush's speech? You know, why did 9 of the 30 members of the Defense Policy Board represent, you know, corporations that have won a total of $76 billion in defense contracts? What's up with the Carlyle Group and George W.? And then, of course, why did we invade Iraq? Here's Ted Kennedy.
The decision was made in Texas in August and then announced in September by the president. That's the history of it. It's the wrong war at the wrong time. There was no imminent threat to the United States. No one doubted that we could be militarily successful, but there was no plan for peace.
No plan for peace, a minimal plan for war. Kennedy said that, and another time he had another comment.
We don't have a post-war policy. It's being made up every single day, and as a result of it, American men and women are a shooting gallery over there, and American people want answers, and they're not getting it from the administration.
And they definitely do. And then Kennedy went on to say,
the real action that was not in the American interest was the decision to go to war unilaterally, without the support of our allies, and without a plan to win the peace. We need a plan from the administration, a real plan, before we write an $87 billion blank check to pay for this administration's hollow policy in Iraq.
So now we have this situation where the monthly cost of the Iraqi wars, of the Iraqi and Afghan wars together, is approaching that of Vietnam. In Vietnam, according to an article by David Moniz published in USA Today on September 8th of this year, in Vietnam, the last sustained war the nation fought, the United States spent $111 billion during the 8 years of the war from 1964 to 1972. $111 billion. Adjusted for inflation, that's $494 billion, an average of $61.8 billion per year, or $5.15 billion per month, which is what we are spending right now in Iraq. Can we have both guns and butter? LBJ tried this. You recall, historically, people in the United States have always known you can't have both guns and butter. You've got to have one or the other, but you can't have both. You get to pick. And in fact, here I've got LBJ here. This here we go. Let me just share with you just a quick note from LBJ, and then we got a call I want to take here.
We must have a responsible fiscal policy in this country. The passage of a tax bill now, together with expenditure control that the Congress may desire and dictate, is absolutely necessary to protect this nation's security and to continue our prosperity and to meet the needs of our people.
See, LBJ thought he could pull it off. Didn't work. Pushed us down the hole. This is Tom Hartman on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And Jeff in Denver, I'll take your call right after this break. We'll be right back.
Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on the fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
A GMO is not a hot new muscle car marketed to young drivers. It's a genetically modified organism, and these GMOs are being secretly sold to us through our supermarkets. Thousands of the food products you bring home, especially those made from corn and soybeans, contain these genetically altered organisms, put there not by farmers developing new and better hybrid crops, but by the likes of Monsanto and other profiteers that have scientists in their labs recklessly moving genes among species, including from animals to plants. They are messing with the very DNA of our food supply without even testing the long-term impact of this manipulation on human health or on our ecology. And they're doing it without even telling us that it's in our food. In Europe, Japan, Latin America, Africa, and elsewhere, people have rejected these frankenfoods, either banning them outright or at least requiring that they be clearly labeled. So why is our government allowing these corporations to use your family and mine as their genetic guinea pigs? Money, honey. The biotech industry knew that U.S. consumers, like those everywhere, would naturally recoil from such tampered foods. So over the last decade, it invaded Washington with its campaign funds and lobbyists. For example, just in the past 5 years, this industry poured $89 million into lobbying our Washington officials and put millions more into the campaign funds of the White House and Congress. Monsanto alone, which now controls 70% of the global market for GMO seeds and has led the charge to prevent labeling of these food products, made $3 million in campaign contributions in this period. 80% of that went to Republicans, and George W. dutifully named a Monsanto lobbyist to be the number two official at the EPA. This is Jim Hightower saying, the biotech giants haven't merely invaded Washington, they've captured it. And that's why we're being kept in the dark.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, helping you win the water cooler wars. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Robert Byrd gave a brilliant speech about the Marshall Plan on the floor of the United States Senate a few days ago, pointing out its differences between then and now and all the challenges and parallels that are trying to be drawn by the Republicans. Jeff in Denver is on the line. Jeff has called 1-800-TALK. Yes, 1-800-825-5937. Jeff, what are your thoughts on this thing here?
Well, when you're talking about this, like this whole thing, you know, we always go, well, how do they get away with this? And so when you're thinking about the Marshall Plan and the cost of Iraq right now, it was kind of bizarre, the so-called liberal NPR today, in analyzing the $87 billion requested, who did they turn to? The American Enterprise Institute to analyze the money being spent. And so,
you know, honest to God.
Yes. That was today on Morning Edition.
I hope you sent an email to them.
I will be.
Good.
And, you know, they, of course, they all the time they turn to, I mean, you never hear Noam Chomsky analyze anything on NPR. But NPR, for some reason, has this label of being liberal, which is rather bizarre.
Well, one of the reasons maybe that they're turning to the AIE is because there is a big move in Congress right now to cut their funding even further. I mean, they've got their back to the wall, and it's a tragedy. There should be an absolute wall there, like there is in England and like there is in Canada and like there is in Australia, with the British Broadcasting Corporation, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. I've been on national programs on all three of those networks in all three of those nations, and I can tell you it is funded by the government, but it is not controlled by the government. And the cons, whenever they talk about this, they say, oh, yes, a government-controlled media. Is that what you want? No, it's not controlled by it. It's simply funded by it. It's funded in a way that no administration can play games with it. I mean, here's the budget. This is it. It's going to adjust for inflation if there are things. If you can convince Congress that there are other things that need to be done, but we're not going to play games with it politically. And the truth gets told in those countries. In fact, BBC has become the standard for the planet of the truth. You have people all over the United States tuning into BBC because they're getting BBS off Fox News, and they're getting half-baked news from the rest of the corporate networks. And anyhow, I'm ranting here, Jeff. Sorry. You were talking about the Marshall Plan.
Yeah, well, there's also another thing. When you just started to compare this, the costs of Iraq to Vietnam, I've been doing the math, and I'll send you the information so I can back up what I'm saying here. But if you look at the number of wounded and so forth in both wars, Iraq and Vietnam, and then adjusted for the number of troops actually in the country, you find that the casualty rates are actually at least close to half of what they were in Vietnam per day, and possibly even more, because, you know, we're not sure about the statistics right now. It's like some people say, well, 1,600 people have been wounded, but then there's some information coming out that 6,000 people have been sent back because of various medical things. And
yeah.
So it's hard to get, but it may be that the casualty rate in Iraq is actually higher than in Vietnam.
Well, and in fact, there are some commentators who have pointed out that in Vietnam they didn't have the kind of body armor that our soldiers have now. And so in Vietnam, when soldiers were shot or shot at, they were more likely to simply die. And now they're more likely to end up with an arm blown off or a leg blown off. They we're seeing far more wounded and fewer dead.
And a lot of the wounded apparently
aren't Kevlar.
And a lot of the wounded apparently aren't being reported, that if, from what I've heard, they're saying that if someone is wounded in an attack, they're not reporting it. They're only reporting it when someone is wounded along with someone else being killed.
Oh, interesting.
And so I'll send you the numbers on this so you can see that there is something to back this up.
Yeah, post it to the message board there at TomHartmann.com, and everybody can see it. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate your call. The Marshall Plan was not a huge bill presented to Congress for its rubber stamp approval, says Senator Robert Byrd. It was a comprehensive strategy to provide $13.3 billion to 16 countries over 4 years. In current dollars, that would be $88.2 billion over 4 years. And they want $80 billion for 1 year. This is outrageous. This is Tom Hartmann on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Highway crews in Iowa use native plants to fight roadside weeds. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Roadside managers in Iowa are thinking of spring already. They're planting seeds of native wildflowers and prairie grasses along state and county roads. It's all part of an effort to make the land along Iowa's roadways more friendly to the environment. Kirk Henderson oversees this project with the Native Roadside Vegetation Center at the University of Northern Iowa. He says state legislators created the program to protect Iowa's groundwater from pesticides. A lot of the chemicals came from farm use, but Henderson says road crews also sprayed herbicides in ditches along highways. They just wanted to kill weeds, but the chemicals ended up in the groundwater.
So they developed a program for reducing herbicide use in the roadsides, and it came about that the main focus of that program was using native prairie vegetation, the prairie grasses and the wildflowers of the original tall grass prairie in roadsides.
Henderson says the use of native plants keeps the weeds from taking over.
And then it also has these other more colorful benefits, prairie restoration, restoring some of our lost natural heritage, creating habitat for songbirds and butterflies, and taking advantage of what is really a lot of land that runs throughout the state and doing something more interesting, treating it more like a resource.
Henderson says about half of Iowa's 99 counties have adopted the roadside program. He hopes more people who do highway maintenance will give this idea a try. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey now, you better listen to me, every one of you. We've got a lot of work to do. Forget about your women and that water can. Today you're working for the man.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd talking about the Marshall Plan quoted Senator Arthur Vandenberg, this back in 1948, who said that the Marshall Plan was, quote, the final product of 8 months of more intensive study by more devoted minds than I have ever known to concentrate upon any one objective in all my 20 years in Congress, end quote. West Germany got $9.2 billion. In inflation-adjusted dollars, the equivalent of today's $9.2 billion, 10.6%. Great Britain got 24% of the funds. Over a course of 4 years, it was $21 billion. And Robert Byrd wraps it up saying, the $87 billion package that the president is seeking has little in common with the Marshall Plan. We should not learn our history through sound bites. Amen. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Brian in New Hampshire is on the line. Brian, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to quickly say, of his many lies, the Vice President Cheney, there was one he made during the 2000 debate, the vice presidential debate with Joe Lieberman, that really still sticks in my craw. It just when Dick Cheney then said that he made all his money, all of his fortune from the private sector, and this is a man who from all his adult life, he's basically been a congressman, then on to Secretary of State, and that's the ultimate insider position in the military-industrial complex, I would say.
Secretary of Defense.
That's the ultimate insider position. That propels him into the CEO position at Halliburton. So every single penny that Dick Cheney has earned in his adult life, the whatever millions it comes through the prestige and the nipple of the greatness of the United States federal government. That's
Did I hear you
from.
Use the word earned, Brian?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well,
I'll let you edit that.
In terms of Washington insider ways of earning
Speak.
Things, yeah. In terms of that, and also the real vice president in that debate. I like to say one more thing, give other people a chance. Joe Lieberman made a great point as he announced his candidacy for presidency. He said that they make fun of Clinton about the North, you know, that he somehow allowed the North Koreans to rearm in secret and all this. It's all nonsense. And Joe Lieberman said if it hadn't been for that July 1994 anti-nuclear treaty of the Clinton administration with North Korea, going up to October 2002 when they broke off relations with the belligerent Bush administration, if it hadn't been for that today North Korea would have at least 18 to 21 deliverable nuclear missiles. And that's from our own Department of Defense analyst that gave Senator Lieberman that information. There's so many lies, it's so hard to keep up with. One other thing is Cheney's secret energy deals. What first made sense to me after September 11th, when we went into Afghanistan, and that was the root of the September 11th attacks, and I think that what Larry Klayman would find out about the secret energy deal with Cheney's energy group is that there is much information already that between February and August 2001, Cheney had been making secret entreaties to the Taliban for the Central Asian gas and oil pipeline through Afghanistan. Then I think they finally went for the easier, much more, you said it's much cheaper to extract the Iraqi oil. But in this, at the same time, I think that lowered our guard. If they just came forward with this would not be an Iran-Contra type deal to me. I would just say that would be an honest thing for two Texas oil men to do is go looking for the sources of these natural resources, and they have to go through Afghanistan as the most cost-effective way. That did let our guard down with the Taliban when the Clinton administration had warned them about the dangers of al-Qaeda. They had really stepped up, escalated. It wasn't even on September 11th. It was in those African embassy bombings.
You got it, Brian. You got it. This administration was handed a set of very specific warnings. The Clinton administration said, we know what's going on. Look out for Osama bin Laden. In fact, the Republicans have been accusing Clinton of being obsessed with Osama bin Laden.
But they were obsessed with Monica Lewinsky's dress at the
right.
time.
Right, and Bush just fell asleep at the switch. Brian, thanks for your comments. I appreciate you being another truth teller and keep spreading the good word in your communities there in New Hampshire. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Tom in Indiana is on the line. Tom, your thoughts on this?
Hello?
Hey, Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for letting me on here. A few days ago, you talked about the real reason we went to the Iraq War.
Well, one of several, but I thought it was one of the main reasons, yes.
Yeah, you explained how that if Iraq let this oil loose on the world to France, China, and Russia, that we might see a huge deflation in the dollar. One thing I want to mention here is that Russia, their biggest export is oil.
Right.
If Iraq were to just let this oil flow, it would be a huge problem to the world oil market, but that would devalue their own black gold. So
Correct.
They would probably be one of the first to suffer from the cheap Iraq oil. France, they have most of their power, about 80% of it, from nuclear fuel. So they aren't really that dependent on oil.
China, so they don't care what the world price of oil is.
What?
And so they don't care what the world price of oil is.
Not as much as most, no. You also have China. That's more plausible. They're a developing country. They have a huge population, and they need a lot of cheap oil in order to get going. But they have heavily invested in oil pipelines leading into Russia. Now, this can go one of two ways. They don't particularly like Russia, as far as I know. So they might want to, they might eventually abandon that. But it would stand to reason that they would lose a lot of money if they did that, because all that would be going to waste. Plus, I'm not 100% certain as to how...
Well, they had already cut the deal. I mean, China had already cut the deal with Iraq, with Hussein. France, China, Russia, and South Korea. South Korea had a tentative deal, $3 billion tentative deal. And they were all lobbying aggressively before the United Nations to get Hans Blix in there to make the final certification that there were no weapons of mass destruction so that the sanctions could be lifted so that they could go in and start rebuilding the infrastructure and upgrading the oil pumping systems so that they could get that oil out of the country. That was my point.
Yeah, it's curious why they would go through and do that in that case. You also,
well, I think they would do it to make money, you know, to bring more oil into the cheap oil is to the benefit of all of those countries. It's not to the benefit of the United States with oil denominated in dollars. We have to keep oil above $20 a barrel. We want it below 30, but we don't want it below 20. In fact, that was at one time there back about 2.5 years ago when it got down to $19.50 a barrel, and we were taking action on that. Go ahead, Tom. I think we've lost Tom. Anyhow, thank you for your comments, Tom. I continue to think that this issue, not having the oil, because we were, you know, 7% of our imported oil was coming from Iraq to begin with, so it's not having the oil. We could get it, we could buy it, but controlling it so that we could regulate the price of it, I continue to think was one of the big issues. It's obscure conspiracy theory stuff, and I may well be wrong. Who knows, but it's something I thought about, and in fact, I sent a piece off to Common Dreams about it today. I don't know, they may think it's a little too far out to run, we'll see. But Tom, thank you for your comments, I appreciate that. Why didn't we learn from the war in Vietnam that we can't have both guns and butter? This very difficult situation that we're facing right now in the United States, not to mention how it's affecting everything. We're seeing the corrupting power of money in politics. We're seeing it all across the United States. We're seeing it in California as well. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Philip in Florida has thoughts on this. Philip, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Build on what you just said. The chattering heads on television and radio from the White House have basically told the American people that they can have all kinds of things and they don't have to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with Reagan saying we can have a 600-ship Navy, we can have B-1 bombers, we can have B-2 bombers, we can have Star Wars, and you don't have to pay for it. Don't worry about it. In fact, you're not going to pay more in taxes, you're going to pay less in taxes. This is the chocolate ice cream diet. Eat all the chocolate ice cream you want and then lose weight. And the victim of this is the current, at least now temporary, governor of California, Gray Davis, is that when all the initiatives were being put on the ballot, all very nice stuff, okay, he never got up and said, you know, guys, you want to vote for this? Terrific. But I got to tell you something. We're going to have to pay for it. It can't come for free. But he never bothered. So you have all these unfunded mandates in the state of California that pumped up the budget.
Yeah, Philip, are you sure that, you know, I don't live in California, so I don't know.
I lived there 27 years.
Okay, so Gray Davis was saying, okay, great, go ahead, spend, you know, vote for all these mandates, or he wasn't recommending that people not vote for unfunded mandates?
No, they're all nice, great things. But the problem is that they don't come free.
Right.
And he never told people that. And
yeah,
the other thing is that with all the money he spent, he should have hired himself a consultant to teach him how to communicate with people.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it.
Apparently, there's a consensus about that in California. Again, I'm observing this from Vermont, and so.
And they're going to have this idiot, who if this guy were a Democrat, any other Democrat, who was running for political office, with his background, the Republicans would have him crucified on Fox Network.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If Arnold was running, I mean, they'd be pulling out the naked pictures of him. They'd be talking about his orgies. They'd be talking. Mean, this guy would last for 5 seconds as a Democrat. It's amazing. It exposes the hypocrisy of former Enron lobbyist Ed Gillespie's Republican National Committee and the Republicans in California that they're all pushing for this guy. It's all about power. Philip, thanks for your call and thanks for your comments. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK. Yes, Pablo in Santa Fe has some thoughts on this. Pablo, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Pablo?
Yeah, pretty good. A couple things about the Joseph Wilson White House CIA affair thing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, from what I can see, the White House strategy is twofold, basically to attack Wilson as a Democrat partisan and, blah, 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 that basically
right.
to put it all on him. And the second...
Well, really to put it all on the Democratic Party, to say he's just a shill for the Democrats.
Yeah, exactly.
They're out to get us.
That's happening, today. You can see signs of it everywhere. But the other thing I noticed is I think the secondary thing is the White House is going to claim that it was the CIA... that leaked this. There's an interesting thing that Gonzales counsel who got the who sent the letter to everybody in the White House, they mentioned mm-hmm. if they had any contacts with Robert Novak, and then also these two reporters from Newsday. These Newsday reporters had done some work on the Joseph Wilson thing where they got information via CIA sources. So that's a clue that they're going to go.
Yeah.
The limited thing is the White House isn't going to blame it on the CIA.
You know what I thought was real interesting was that the counsel for the White House informed the White House that he was, I think it must have been on Monday, that he was going to commence the investigation on Tuesday, and that they didn't really have to do anything until then. I don't have the news story right in front of me, but I'll dig it out during the break.
Yeah, they basically had 12 hours to, in effect, go to their computers and do whatever.
Clean house. Clean house. Do as you know, in the best tradition of Ollie North and those other Iran-Contra criminals, to clean house. Pablo, thanks for your comments and thanks for sharing with us. It sounds like you've dropped off there. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 13 minutes before the hour, and Billy in California has some thoughts on this. Billy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Billy.
Along with the celebrity quickly, if some lefty celebrity had run like Robert Redford, they'd win too. This is really about the toxic effect of celebrity on the stupid American mind.
You think so?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's also about the fact that Davis is the single human without a friend in the world.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you live in California. Is what Philip from Florida was saying true?
And the essence being what?
The essence being two things. Number one, that all of these ballot initiatives that required spending that we, the people of California, kept passing, that Davis never spoke up and said, hey, you keep spending this money, I'm going to have to raise your taxes.
Yeah, that's true.
And number one. And number two, that he's a lousy communicator.
Yeah, all those things are true. And that's what I mean about friendless. This is a guy who has been a great politician in the sense of knowing how to, write a good negative ad and the rest of it, but who really just is not a warm, interesting person on any level, so he has no defenders. The best thing we can say about Gray Davis is he's not a Republican and that this whole thing is just a Republican power grab. That's the truth. I mean, the fact is he didn't lie about the deficit. He didn't tell the truth about the deficit. A deficit either in California. And by the way, there's a deficit in four-fifths of the states of America today.
Yeah, there's not in Vermont, I can tell you.
Exactly.
We actually have a rainy day fund.
The size and other things going on there.
Yeah.
Oil dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know about this. I also believe that the other thing that was happening in the oil business at that time was that Iraq was getting the rest of OPEC to consider giving up the dollar as the basis for trading oil.
Well, I don't think that the rest of OPEC was willing, would have gone along with that because the Saudis would have blocked it. But he was pushing for it, and he was talking about moving to the euro instead of the dollar. And that certainly was creating some nervous noises around the world, and particularly here in Washington, D.C. But keep in mind how hysterical Greenspan was about deflation. I mean, we've got interest rates here now that are the same as they were in 1950. This is absolutely unprecedented. Post-World War II interest rates. And because the risk of deflation is so great, they've been trying to pump this economy so desperately.
And it is. That's what you and I have been talking about from the beginning, you know, when we're talking about the job loss to Asia, for example.
Yeah, we got about 10 seconds.
That in itself, my friend, is so incredibly deflationary is that we don't even begin to appreciate how big that is.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Billy, thanks for calling and sharing with us. I always appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, straight to the heart of truth. We'll be back after this break.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You know, I actually used to take Tylenol, but not anymore, because now I get relief 15 minutes faster on tough pain with Advil Liquigels. Advil Liquigels actually rush relief 15 minutes faster. Now, how great does that sound? Imagine 15 wonderful, precious minutes faster. Now, why would I ever use anything else for pain relief? Advil Liquigels, 15 minutes faster.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Mola Show.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out, all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Telling the truth that multinational corporations don't want you to know. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Robert Byrd just offered an amendment, according to Bob Armick, 1954, on our chat room. Just offered an amendment that the appropriations bill be split into a $67 billion military spending bill and a $20 billion reconstruction bill. But he knows it. But he knows the second won't pass. Ted Stevens is asking for it to be rejected. Tough times in the United States Senate here with the Republican control. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Armin in Florida is on the line. Armin, welcome back. How are you today?
Hey, thank you very much. For the people out there, just, you know, don't ever forget that the Reagan Republicans, they're the ones that removed the Fairness Doctrine so that the media's, if that would be in effect, they couldn't perpetrate these crimes of complicity. Is that the word? What the Bush crime family that they're perpetrating?
Yeah.
And that's number one. And number two, when David Stockman, I believe he was the economist that Reagan got rid of.
He was not an economist. He was a former congressman who was working. He was playing an economist in the Reagan administration because all the real economists had quit or been fired over the issue of trickle-down economics.
Right. And he's the one that had the parameters, I believe, that there were five basic graphs that they were going to use to fundamentally show the people if it was really true about their alleged trickle-economic theory, which we all know now is the biggest lie there was perpetrated on the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have to have a way to measure things to know where you're going or where you came from. And Reagan and that bunch, I believe, had to skew it and scuttle it because, you know, you can't lie to the people if the people have the means to tell that they're lying. So if you take the means away, then they can't tell they're being lied to.
Yeah.
And I just watched, I'm sorry, but I just watched Bob Barr put his spin on it. And these people are pathetic. I mean, they are absolutely pathetic. What they'll do for that little weasel in the White House.
They're seeing the future of their party, and that what you call that little weasel in the White House has enormous power right now. First of all, over those Republicans. I mean, he has. Look at what they did to Snow and Voinovich, the whole Rhino thing. He has the ability to trash them. And secondly, they're staying in power to a large extent depends on his not getting prosecuted. And there's a possibility of that. They're scared to death. Armin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network in the Truth Zone.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The ranks of the uninsured swelled by 2.4 million last year as more Americans lost their jobs and health care coverage while insurance costs kept rising. The number of people without health insurance the entire year rose to 43.6 million, an incredible jump of almost 6% from 2001. This was the second consecutive annual release, according to the Census Bureau, in a report being released Tuesday. The percentage of Americans without health insurance coverage rose from 14.6 to 15.2. The Bureau reported a survey last week that found more people fell into poverty and median income declined in 2002, even though the recession was said to have ended in late 2001. Congressional Democrats plan to continue pressing the White House for an independent investigation into how an undercover CIA officer's identity was revealed and will hold closed-door talks with the officer's husband to further their efforts. Democratic officials indicated that Wilson himself plans to talk to the House Democrats in their weekly caucus meeting in the Capitol on Wednesday and will talk to reporters afterwards. Democrats said that a special investigator is the only way to ferret out the problem due to the leaker potentially placing so many lives in danger. According to a senior law enforcement official, Ashcroft has not ruled out appointing a special counsel. Independent candidate for California Governor Arianna Huffington bowed out of the recall race Tuesday to focus on defeating the recall vote and Arnold Schwarzenegger's bid for governor. During her campaign, she supported the recall but now calls Schwarzenegger a clear and present danger and that Republican forces are using him as a tool to get control of California. The recall election is scheduled for next week on October 7th. Despite the fact that the FDA has not approved any medicines from Cuba for import, cheap Cuban medicines fill Miami cabinets. The Cuban government recently made it even easier for tourists to get medications manufactured there via a new pharmacy kiosk at Jose Martini International Airport in Havana that dispenses all types of drugs without prescriptions for U.S. dollars. Most U.S. enforcement efforts are concentrated only on drugs that are intended to be resold in the United States for profits. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Fried potatoes and catfish are old hat to Texans at what is billed as the largest state fair in the United States. This year, eight new fried foods are debuting at the fair, among them fried Oreo cookies and fried candy bars. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
A GMO is not a hot new muscle car marketed to young drivers. It's a genetically modified organism, and these GMOs are being secretly sold to us through our supermarkets. Thousands of the food products you bring home, especially those made from corn and soybeans, contain these genetically altered organisms, put there not by farmers developing new and better hybrid crops, but by the likes of Monsanto and other profiteers that have scientists in their labs recklessly moving genes among species, including from animals to plants. They're messing with the very DNA of our food supply without even testing the long-term impact of this manipulation on human health or on our ecology. And they're doing it without even telling us that it's in our food. In Europe, Japan, Latin America, Africa, and elsewhere, people have rejected these Frankenfoods, either banning them outright or at least requiring that they be clearly labeled. So why is our government allowing these corporations to use your family and mine as their genetic guinea pigs? Money, honey. The biotech industry knew that U.S. consumers, like those everywhere, would naturally recoil from such tampered foods. So over the last decade, it invaded Washington with its campaign funds and lobbyists. For example, just in the past 5 years, this industry poured $89 million into lobbying our Washington officials and put millions more into the campaign funds of the White House and Congress. Monsanto alone, which now controls 70% of the global market for GMO seeds and has led the charge to prevent labeling of these food products, made $3 million in campaign contributions in this period. 80% of that went to Republicans, and George W. dutifully named a Monsanto lobbyist to be the number two official at the EPA. This is Jim Hightower saying, the biotech giants haven't merely invaded Washington, they've captured it, and that's why we're being kept in the dark.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Hello.
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome to the pill that will help you escape the matrix. This is Tom Hartman speaking from behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone high up in the Green Mountains of Vermont, the People's Republic, as it is often called. We are usually quiet individuals expressing little about world events and politics, say Randy and Pam Fossier of Spokane, Washington. Maybe it's pronounced Fossier. I'm not, anyway. They say, however, we have to stand up and say something now. Their son is in Iraq. He's been there for months, and he was just given 2 weeks home. However, they say, there is one catch. He has to pay for the journey. Halliburton has billions, but the Army can't pay to send a soldier home. My understanding, by the way, is that they get as far as Baltimore, and then they're on their own. How can the government expect him to pay his own airfare, they ask. This is an atrocity, and too often there is no way some of these families can afford the airfare. And that is so very much the case, because the Army, in many cases, is the employer of last resort in the United States. Our country, Randy and Pam go on to say, our country is spending a fortune on behalf of another country. But our fighting forces should be the main priority, including traveling home for a reprieve.
Why didn't we learn from the war in Vietnam that we can't have both guns and butter? What kind of mess are we making? You know, it's interesting that the way this may play out, what the future might be. Let's just go back. You heard in the last hour LBJ talking about the need to raise taxes while he kept spending low so that he could afford his war. Here's Richard Nixon announcing that he's going to attack Cambodia. This is a major escalation of the Vietnam War.
In cooperation with the armed forces of South Vietnam, attacks are being launched this week to clean out major enemy sanctuaries on the Cambodian-Vietnam border.
Now, this was a move that this escalation of the war at a time when there was a very strong anti-war movement in the United States that many said was going to doom Richard Nixon and his possibility of running for re-election. I mean, keep in mind the scenario. Johnson passed the Great Society, and then in 1968, Congress started cutting back LBJ's. Well, actually, we're talking about Nixon. This is pre that. Back to Nixon. Anyhow, in 72, Nixon's going full tilt boogie on this thing. And in fact, he even, here's what he has to say about it.
I have noted, for example, that a Republican senator has said that this action I have taken means that my party has lost all chance of winning the November elections. And others are saying today that this move against enemy sanctuaries will make me a one-term president. No one is more aware than I am of the political consequences of the action I've taken.
Yeah, I'm trying to position it as a very noble thing. What we didn't know at the time was that Nixon, number one, was bugging the Democrats that his secret agents, Segretti, who was Karl Rove's mentor, had the Canuck letter that they were making it. They wanted to get Muskie out of the race. They didn't want him running. That they were sabotaging their opponents so that they could decide the Republicans. So that the Nixon, the creep, the committee to reelect the president, so that they could decide which Democrat they got to run against. Because they knew that there was a better chance they could beat McGovern than Muskie. And so they were doing dirty tricks on Muskie, similar to the very kinds of things that Karl Rove apparently orchestrated against John McCain in South Carolina. When George W. Bush was running against him there. And the other thing that people didn't know when Nixon was making his noble speech was that Henry Kissinger was preparing an October surprise. The October surprise for 1972, of course, being the announcement in October that he had a secret plan to provide peace in Hanoi, peace in Vietnam, that they had negotiated peace in 1972, that they had negotiated peace in Hanoi, but that it was going to have to wait until after the election to play itself out. The election, it's just, these complicate things too much. Kissinger's secret plan for peace. And everybody bought it hook, line, and sinker. We took the whole thing. We said, okay, cool, this is great. And then, of course, Watergate unraveled, and then Vietnam, and then LBJ came along, and LBJ had to raise taxes, and it just got worse and worse, and what a mess. What kind of mess are we getting into now? We discover that this administration is asking for more money on a per-year basis than the Marshall Plan cost. For what? To ensure our oil supplies, to ensure the profits of our oil companies, to stabilize the region. You want to stabilize the region? Raise their standard of living. Don't bomb them. It's okay, here we now. National priorities budget, the cost of war with Iraq for selected cities. Athens, Alabama, $4 million. Birmingham, $36,700,000. Huntsville, $39,200,000. Phoenix, Arizona, $307 million. Little Rock, Arkansas, $37,900,000. Berkeley, California, $40,900,000. Fresno, $86,800,000. Grass Valley, little town where a friend of mine, a publisher of one of my books, $2,100,000. Los Angeles is paying $834,800,000. In Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut, $45,600,000. In Boulder, Colorado, I know we have listeners in Colorado, in Denver, Boulder, $37,800,000. Denver, $152 million to pay for the cost of Iraq. Down in Florida, our listeners in Florida, Lake County is spending $59 million in Iraq. Hernando County, $32 million. The city of Orlando, $49,800,000. Atlanta, Georgia, spending $80,500,000. In Illinois, Elgin, Illinois, $34,600,000. Galesburg, $8,800,000. And on and on and on it goes. It's Ann Arbor, Michigan, $45,100,000. Lansing, Michigan, where I grew up, $27,300,000 for the war in Iraq. Can you imagine what these communities? Santa Fe, New Mexico, $13,600,000 for the war in Iraq. Albuquerque is spending $92,500,000 on the war in Iraq. And the list just goes on and on. Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We're on a station in North Carolina, $17,800. Raleigh, North Carolina, $82,300,000. What are we getting for this? What is the have we reached the point where it's just gone over the top? Have we reached the point where okay, it's something I want to share with you. I got an email here, and first of all, let me encourage people. Rather than emailing me, because I am so buried generally in email that very often I just don't have an opportunity to appropriately respond to emails, or in the and our spam filter catches some that it shouldn't, or the best way to reach if you want to say something about the radio program and share information, drop into the chat room or go to our message board where you can actually post a message. And, people can discuss it. You can post it. You can, and I will read them. So anyhow, Christopher Kelly with the Department of Political Science in Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, writes and says, I'm a faithful listener to your show, and I am encouraged by your effort to create an alternative to the conservative media. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Our food service and janitorial staff at Miami, this is Ohio, have gone on strike due to the pitifully poor wages the university pays them, which is the lowest in the area and among the lowest in the state of Ohio. They are all members of AFSCME Local 209. He says, we certainly could use the support of a national audience. The webpage for the union is www.afscme209.org, and then he's got a link for the student organization. I put both of those on the blog that we use to keep track of the show topics. If you go to our homepage at tomhartman.com and just click on program topics, you'll find the two links that Chris mentions, and the union there could use some help. They're getting buried. They're having a difficult time. Studies say tax cuts now will bring bigger bill later. The New York Times last week, for every dollar of tax cuts, we're going to spend $3.60 over the next 6 years, and by paying interest and whatnot. From 2001 to 2006, Americans will get tax cuts that average $3,593 a person, while the per capita share of the national debt will increase by $13,000. About a fourth of this year's record budget deficit, estimated at $480 billion, will finance tax cuts. This is such an important thing. And it ties into the corruption of this administration, their willingness to lie to us, the willingness of the whole conservative. This is the conservative thing. This is what the cons are up to. This extraordinary willingness to lie to us. It's your money, they say on the radio. It's your money. Don't you want it back? We are not giving people back their money with these tax cuts, because these are not tax cuts. By funding this war, with the kind of spending that they're talking about without raising taxes to pay for this war. It's all one thing. And what it is we are borrowing from our children, and we ourselves, beginning this month, are having to pay the interest payments on this borrowed money. But because most of the government borrowing is done on 20-year T-notes and they roll over, I mean, you know, the government keeps... We may not have to pay it back, but we're pulling in Argentina right now. Whenever you hear the word tax cuts, try to correct that person and say tax deferral or borrowing from our children. People don't get it because they think of government as like an individual. You say, okay, if you were to borrow money, you have to pay it back, right? So, you know, you borrow money and then you give yourself money and, you know, like it seems like a good thing, but you know it's not a good thing. But with government, it's like we can borrow money, but we don't have to pay it back. Because government is multi-generational. We're dumping this on our children. Truth in Broadcasting, this is the Tom Hartman Program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Who says
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why
hate
why
me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed, where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism? And I think we have some real concerns with that. I want to get to that. First, we caught somebody doing something right, and I just want to tell you about this. Yes, indeed. Fred D'Amato, Pocono, Pennsylvania. They caught him doing something right. He put a sign out in his front yard that says, "Support our troops, impeach the Bush administration." Of course, Mount Pocono then jumped all over him. In fact, the borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, "The last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things." Those things being impeach the administration, support our troops, impeach the administration. The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, "Well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights," making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fines for not having his sign. However, the story in the Mount Pocono Record, the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done. Oh, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to call and be on the program today. And Enriquia? In Santa Fe, wants to talk about spending. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom.
Tell me how to pronounce your name.
Enrique.
Enrique. Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
I thought you were right on target with how you're saying that we're spending our children's future. You know, I've heard earlier on, you know, that it was costing us $1 billion a week to run the war in Iraq, and that this money was actually coming out of our Social Security monies that's being withheld from our checks. Like, you know, a lot of Americans, you know, they get paid every 2 weeks or every month, and there's withholding there. And then if you're self-employed, you're probably filing quarterly, and you're paying into Social Security. And all of that money that's coming in is actually, you know, what the government makes disbursements out of on a daily basis. And,
well, this was one of the big issues in the last election, was whether Social Security money should be mingled with the general trust fund money or not. And that's why Al Gore kept talking about his locked box, that he wanted to make sure that nobody messed with Social Security money. I frankly am not sure what the status of that is right now. I mean, we are generating debt to pay for these things. We have a national debt right now in excess of $500 billion for the year. And, you know, pushing, what, $7 trillion overall, the deficit and the debt. And this is money that will have to be paid back at some point. It's not and whether or not it crashes Social Security. I mean, the conservative agenda, is to just strip all social services out. They consider it all Marxism and communism. It's all socialism. It's all nasty stuff. How dare we? decide what kind of society we want to have. How dare we think that it's appropriate that we care for those who can't care for themselves? How dare we think that we should be charitable and through the function of government? That's, you know, their position.
Well, a lot of times it's a lot cheaper to pay for things up front than at the tail end. I mean, like, especially like in healthcare, preventive medicine,
yeah.
People are getting Medicaid. You know, it's easier to pay for it that way than to have some kind of disease go throughout.
I agree, Enrique, and this is the conclusion that most of the nations of the world, the developed nations of the world, have come to, is that it's not only the right thing to do, it's also the smart thing to do. This is Tom. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Time is running out for a new contract between 71,000 grocery store workers in Southern California and the stores they work for. The workers, members of the United Food and Commercial Workers, are quite unhappy with the contract proposed by the stores, which would freeze pension funding and place more of the burden to pay for health care on the workers with no compensatory raise. The contract expires on Sunday. The UFCW is telling its members at grocery stores to save as much money as possible, as strike pay is a pittance. The stores already have signs up advertising for temporary replacement help.
The fate of the 40-hour work week is in the hands of the House of Representatives. When lawmakers take up a health, education, and labor spending bill today, they'll decide whether or not to include a measure that would prevent the Labor Department from exempting millions of American workers from the right to overtime pay. Organized labor says those changes would cost a net 8 million American workers their right to time and a half pay. Nevertheless, President Bush has threatened to veto the entire $138 billion spending bill if an amendment protecting overtime pay survives both houses of Congress.
25 former workers on a factory fishing boat are being sued by the company they worked for, accused of mutiny during a fish processing expedition in February. The men, all from Washington State, staged a mini strike on the ship after the captain tried to increase the already grueling 16-hour workday by half an hour. When they were fired and taken back to land, the workers sued, claiming the company infringed on their right to organize for a safer workplace. Now the company, Premier Pacific Seafoods, has countersued, wanting the workers to pay for the vessel's downtime during their rebellion. It says the workers committed mutiny, which is punishable by up to 10 years in prison, and the remedy it seeks is a slap on the wrist by comparison.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
old cell phones, driving off the road and bumping into doors. People used to spend quite a bit of time alone. I guess nobody's lonely anymore.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone. But boy, the state of Illinois is not. Here we've got a story. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is seeking corporate sponsors for his hard-up state. Now, you see, when this country was put together, the founders had this notion that we're creating an independent democratic republic, a constitutionally limited republic that represents we the people, we the human beings. Our government is us. Our government is not of, by, and for the churches, for example. So you don't see a picture of the Pope or the picture of Martin Luther on the front of City Hall. Our government is not for the unions. It is not for the civic organizations. You don't see the Masons. You don't see the any private organization. They are separate. All these different forms of separate organization are separate from government. And now here come corporations trying to weasel their way in. This is what Benito Mussolini referred to when he said, fascism should more correctly be called corporatism. It is the merging of state and business interests. When the state has to turn to private corporations, we have a serious, serious problem with democracy. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, not sure how to pronounce it, seeking corporate sponsors for his hard-up state. He isn't joking. It's beyond asking corporate America for help. If Ford would donate cars to the state's fleet, he'd put the company's logo on every bumper. If Nike would resurface beat-up playgrounds, he'd make sure kids on the court saw the familiar swoosh. It could restore some programs and services eliminated during the budget cuts. Illinois is the first state aggressively searching for private partners. This used to be illegal. Dozens of cities have already started seeking underwriters for parks, pools, and in Virginia Beach, Virginia, even the prosecutor's office. The prosecutor's office is getting a corporate sponsor. And what happens when that corporation gets accused of a crime, do you think? This is just wrong. And this is so wrong, it is mind-boggling. If those of you who live in Illinois who are listening to me now, I hope you are speaking up. This was an article in the Los Angeles Times sort of chuckling about poor L.A. But this is the kind of thing that the corporations love this stuff. Yes, sure, yeah, we'll help out. Yeah, no problem. And by the way, when we want some regulations changed, when we want a tax abatement, when we want to be able to dump a little more pollution into the stream, you're not going to give us a problem, are you? No, of course not. We help. We built your playgrounds. This is just an extension of the thing with the current Bush administration. And you know, certainly the Clinton administration was not immune to it either, although they hadn't turned it into the art form that the Bush administration has. We'll give hundreds of millions of dollars to your campaign, over $600 million from Halliburton alone to the GOP and to the Bush campaigns. Yes, we'll give you millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. Can you imagine how much money that is? Hundreds of millions of dollars. Corporations are not altruistic entities. They're not supposed to be. Corporations are supposed to earn money, and God bless them in doing it. We need small and medium-sized businesses in this country, and probably even a few large ones if they're appropriately regulated and controlled. But this, oh, yes, no problem. We will give you $100 million, $200 million, we'll give you $600 million for your campaign. By the way, thinking of invading any countries? We can help. By the way, say the energy producers, you know, you've got this Clean Air Act, and it says that by 2002, we're supposed to be cutting back on our pollution, the mercury that's going into the air, the carbon that's going into the air, the carbon dioxide. We would kind of appreciate it if you could do something about that, Mr. Bush. After all, we did give you all that money. The prostitution of our politicians has now become the selling of our commons. This is completely out of control. This is completely out of control. And we must do something about this. What can we do about it? Well, number one, get the money out of, get the corporate money to begin with. But ideally, all money, get it out of politics. As so many other nations around the world have, let's publicly fund our elections. If every person in America checked that little box on their tax returns that says, yes, give $2 or $3 or whatever it is this year to the political campaigns, and they weren't allowed to do what George Bush has already declared he's going to do, and now Howard Dean is saying if he's going to run against George Bush, he's going to have to do in defense. They weren't allowed to spend money beyond the amount available from the public. See, if it became a challenge between Bush and Dean, and both of them were just taking public funding, we have the mechanism in place. If they both took public funding, they'd be limited to spending 40-some-odd million dollars. But instead, Bush is trying to raise $200 million. To carpet bomb America. And he is not, and where is he raising that from? I mean, look at who shows up. This system has become so corrupt, and it is a relatively easy fix. The problem is that the corruptors have their tentacles in so deep that it's going to require we, the people, to stand up and say, no, we aren't going to allow this anymore. We want our nation back, thank you very much. This is a country created of, by, and for we, the people, not they, the corporations. Sorry. Let corporations make money. Let them do it. Great. But not in a way that harms the commons. Not in a way that harms we the people, and that they can buy their way into and through and out of with political favors, or buy, you know, building a park for the city of Chicago. This is absolutely wrong. And in part it all tracks back to this 1886 Supreme Court non-decision. Where legal scholars tell you that in that case, the Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad case, that the Supreme Court said that corporations are persons and entitled, therefore, to equal protection under the law, the 14th Amendment, free speech. Ultimately, then the court decided because of this, free speech, the First Amendment, privacy, the Fourth Amendment, protection from discrimination, the 14th Amendment, and so you can't stop a Walmart, and Nike claims that they have the right to lie, and Dow Chemical says that the EPA can't perform surprise inspections. And it turns out, when you go back and look at it, that the Supreme Court never ruled that. That the clerk of the court wrote it down, but he was wrong. You actually read the ruling, it says, no, we didn't rule on a constitutional issue. And you'll find on my website a letter from the Supreme Court Chief Justice, Morrison Remick Waite, in 1886, to the clerk of the court, John Chandler Bancroft Davis, saying, we did not rule on the constitutional issue. And yet Davis wrote it down anyway. Why did he do that? Well, it wasn't published until after the Chief Justice was dead 2 years later. He was dying of heart disease. And Davis, it turns out, was also a front for corporate money. He was the former president of the New York and Newburgh Railroad. And this was the beginning. And interestingly, in the Boston versus Bilotti case, where the Supreme Court ruled that corporations, this was just 20 years ago, more or less, ruled that corporations have the right to give money to politicians and political campaigns and say anything they want to influence politics, which was illegal in Massachusetts prior to that time. It was First Bank of Boston versus Bilotti, the attorney general for the state of Massachusetts. I want to say his name was Frank. Anyhow, in that case, in the dissent in that case, Rehnquist, in the dissent, says, back in 1886, this court, without benefit of debate or open discussion, ruled that corporations are persons, and that he thought that was a mistake. Well, he hadn't even bothered to read it. It ain't the case. Corporations are not persons. They should not have First Amendment rights. They should not have Fourth Amendment rights. The corporations are legal fictions. Thomas Jefferson warned us about them. We need to do everything we can to make it possible for corporations to function and make money in the United States and help build a strong and vital economy. And we need to do everything we can to keep them out of politics. The political arena is not a corporate arena. And corporations cannot vote. What are they doing in politics? Here we have, Will Your Job Move to India, by Philip Harper. See, this is what happens when corporations take over politics. They start saying, okay, well, let's pass laws that help corporations. Who cares what the impact will be on human beings? See, a multinational corporation, it may have a very familiar American name. But I'm telling you, you call your computer company for support, and odds are somebody in India is going to answer the phone. You call your bank about your credit card balance, somebody in India may be answering the phone. You go to the store to buy a new pair of shoes, they're going to be made in China. But here, this is Oracle now is moving 2,000 developer jobs, software giant Oracle, to India. Hewlett-Packard announced that it's closing a customer service operation in Florida, moving 1,200 jobs again to India. The number of jobs moving offshore over the next 15 years in management, 288,281 jobs are expected to move offshore. See, it hit the blue-collar workers two decades ago, during the Reagan administration when these floodgates first got opened. And they said, oh, it's just blue-collar workers. They don't have money to be powerful. They don't, you know, and we can pull a wool over their eyes. We'll put some right-wing talk show hosts on, and they'll make them think that this is for their good. They'll say things like, well, gee, I never heard of a job being created by somebody who wasn't a rich person. Shouldn't we give them tax breaks? Lies. Most small businesses in America who create the majority of jobs in America are not started by rich people. In business, 384,028 jobs will move offshore. Now it's hitting the white-collar class. People are starting to take notice. Anybody who thinks that this is a classless society is clueless. Computers, 472,632 jobs are expected to move offshore in the computer business. Architecture, 184,347 people in the architecture field are expected to lose their jobs in the United States because those jobs are going to go overseas. See, we used to have laws in the United States that prevented this. from 1784 when Tench Cox pushed through the first protectionist, yes, and it's a good thing, protectionist tariffs to protect American domestic industries and American workers. From 1784 until recently, Reagan Bush kicked the doors open, and then Bill Clinton, by signing NAFTA and GATT, just took down the wall. I mean, blew up the building. In life sciences, they expect 36,770 jobs to go offshore. This is you'll recall a couple of days ago we played this thing on the show of this conversation, this internal conversation at IBM, where they were talking about this. This is the Forrester Research Study. Dell Computers opened a customer support center for its American market in India. Delta Airlines is now answering. You call Delta Airlines, they're going to answer the phone in the Philippines. The American International Group setting up a processing operation in the Philippines to handle claims for its American General Life Insurance subsidiary. You got life insurance with American General Life? You call and talk to somebody, they will be in the Philippines. Sales jobs, 226,564 sales jobs are expected to go overseas. Legal jobs, 74,642. We're going to be being sued now by lawyers in India. This is what happens when laws are made for the benefit of corporations and not for the benefit of people. This has to change in America, and if it's going to change, it's going to change because you and I decide to do something about it. Get active. Get vocal. Create committees of correspondence. Pass along emails. Spread along websites. Spread the word. Speak out and talk to your elected officials. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Honey, I have got just what you need.
I've heard that before.
No, it's DayQuil. It'll help your cold symptoms so you can get back your energy.
Really?
You could even go shopping.
Shopping.
Designer handbags are 90% off.
Yeah, because we're out of dog food.
DayQuil. The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, aching, fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use it directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Tom Hartman.
Martin Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman exposing the con in conservative. Thomas Jefferson, in a letter to Colonel Edward Carrington in 1787, wrote, experience declares that man is the only animal which devours his own kind, for I can apply no milder term to the general prey of the rich upon the poor. End quote. And here we have now in the Wall Street Journal, sticker shock. Bush's request for aid for Iraq includes many contentious items. Get a load of this. This is this bill that these guys are debating right now. I use guys in the generic gender-neutral context in Congress. The Bush plan, just a few simple quotes here from the Wall Street Journal. The Bush plan would spend $255 on electricity generation for every Iraqi, $255, compared with 71 cents on federally funded electricity work in the United States. Another quote. A report released yesterday by House Democratic Committee, by House Budget Committee Democrats said the long-term cost of the war and the reconstruction will top $178 billion and could exceed $400 billion. And then they started to look at the request. We are finding, this is a verbatim quote from a Republican staff aide, quote, we are finding clear examples of outright pork, end quote. Aides are questioning, for instance, the Wall Street Journal says, why the administration wants to spend $45 million more to improve the already functioning port of Umm Qasr. The U.S. Agency for International Development already has hired a North American contractor to perform $21 million of that work. This, of course, while our own ports are not even safe from terrorists. They estimated it would cost $8 billion. $8 billion. To check every single piece of cargo coming into every port in the United States before it was shipped from its own country using civil servants paid government union wages to do it. $8 billion. And, oh, we can't afford that. I'm sorry, this administration says. We can't protect America. But we want $80 billion to rebuild Iraq. They're doing a catch-up business training for Iraqi executives, $10,000 per person for a four-week management class. 22 new job counseling centers at $350,000 each.
Welcome to America. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Get active, get political, change things. We can do it. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Shara Jones for running the board and Joe McPherson and Louise Hartman for producing a great show. Thanks again. See you tomorrow.
It's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.